Well, hello and welcome back to Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly, and also a big welcome to those of us who've joined us from Preservation Today, who unfortunately got to see me live on video. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. We report on how the Nazca lines are to be protected from heavy rains, and 21st century science is used to investigate prehistoric art in Nicaragua. In Ireland, a huge ditch circle is found at Tara, while in Haryana, in India, the largest Harappan burial site so far found has been uncovered. New research in Paris shows that African pygmies are descended from a unique population, while I'm glad to report that a 14,000-year-old settlement and hunting kit have been found here in Scotland. Finally, we look at a theory that the earliest farmers in the eastern USA did it for taste, not hunger. The National Institute of Culture of Peru is currently preparing a preservation project to prevent damage caused by weather on the enigmatic Nazca lines. It's a project that will serve the whole area in general to avoid events such as the one that happened last January, when rainwater accumulated and then drained, covering a section of the geoglyph called La Mano, the hand, with layers of clay. Heavy rains have affected the region during the first quarter of 2009, but without serious consequences. The most important part of this project will be the concept of preventative measures. Last January, Eastern Michigan University Assistant Professor Ruth Ann Armitage, with a team that included her husband Dan Fraser and archaeologist Suzanne Baker, reached the remote northern Nicaragua to date prehistoric cave paintings. Armitage is an analytical chemist who uses a process called plasma chemical oxidization to carbon date ancient drawings. She was also able to obtain samples of charcoal and paint from the drawings and brought the samples back to her lab at EMU. Once she's there, she'll be able to date the art. The scientists will then have a better sense of who might have created these paintings. Etched in charcoal and reddish paint, they show handprints and spirals, dots and an upside-down childlike figure, as well as other images. Other art in the cave, tentatively believed to be a ritual site, include figures and faces carved into stalactites and stalagmites. Suzanne Baker has carried out other work in Nicaragua, made her first trip to the cave called Cueva de la Conga in 2006 after a missionary living in the area contacted her about it. The cave, which is situated on private land, has already been vandalised, though. Armitage and Baker hope their work will draw attention to the importance of the archaeology and preservation to help prevent further destruction. They also hope that it adds to the body of archaeological knowledge in a country with few resources for such research, and a field in which little funding is available in the United States as well. When it comes down to funding, what's more important, archaeology or people having food? Well, answers on a postcard, please. Archaeologists have unearthed what appears to be a huge wooden monument at the Hill of Tara in County Meath, Ireland. In a new TV documentary, many theories and insights into the country's prehistoric past and its 150,000 ancient monuments are unveiled and explained. People would be able to view a computer-generated recreation of what archaeologists believe was a major wooden structure at the ancient seat of the Irish High Kings at the Hill of Tara. Archaeologist Joe Fenwick reveals how LIDAR, or light detecting and ranging, laser beams have been used to scan the ground surface to create a three-dimensional map, which revealed more than 30 monuments around Tara itself. Using other techniques, described as taking an X-ray through hillsides, archaeologists discovered the huge monument, a ditch 6 metres wide and 3 metres deep cut into the bedrock. The ditch, circling the Mound of Hostages passage tomb, separated the outside world from the ceremonial centre of Tara. It was believed that the ancient architects also surrounded the ditch with a massive wooden structure on each side. Its sheer size meant that a whole forest would have had to have been cleared to build it. The Hill of Tara has enormous ritual significance over the course of 5,000 to 6,000 years, and cutting-edge technology is now helping to provide new insights into the lives of these ancestors, according to the documentary makers behind Secrets of the Stones. It shows Ireland's first civilization began around 7,000 years ago, withstanding major climatic changes and voyaging throughout Europe, returning with new religions, new ideas and artefacts. An RTE spokesman said the broadcaster, along with the Department of Education, will be sending two free copies of the book accompanying the series to all second-level schools in the country. I was going to say, I wonder if I could get sent one myself. Sounds fascinating. A team of archaeologists from the Deccan College Postgraduate and Research Institute is back from Haryana in India, where they stumbled upon a record 70 Harappan graves at a site in Fermanagh, discovering the largest burial site of this civilization in India so far. The excavation proved one of the biggest breakthroughs in South Asian history and is now listed for World Heritage status, confirmed by UNESCO. It's an extraordinary archaeological finding. In addition, they also uncovered a housing complex that had emerged during the Harappan period and was discovered by the archaeologists who have been working in this little-known area for the past 3 years. But only this year was the magnitude of the burial site understood, expanding from a mere 7 graves to 70. The skeletal remains belong to an era between 2500 and 2000 BCE, when the civilization was at its height. Scientific tests on the remains that have been found will give us clues on the Harappan way of life. In fact, tests will also be conducted on the skeletons, which will answer questions on the habitat and also what they ate. Indeed, whether they were vegetarians or non-vegetarians. A total of 100 archaeologists have been working on the site, including 40 students. The entire team has so far excavated one complex, which has 26 rooms, 3 to 4 kitchens, and an equal number of bathrooms and courtyard in the centre. All African pygmies inhabiting a large territory extending west to east along Central Africa descended from a unique population who lived around 20,000 years ago, according to an international study led by researchers at the Institut Pasteur in Paris. The research concludes that the ancestors of the present-day African pygmies and farmers separated around 60,000 years ago. Pygmies are characterized by a forest-dwelling, hunter-gathering lifestyle and distinctive cultural practices and physical traits. Two groups of pygmy populations live in the African rainforests, the western pygmies and the eastern pygmies. The common origins of the two groups, separated by thousands of kilometers, have long been debated, and their relationships with neighboring farmers remained obscure. The researchers studied the genetic profile of 12 populations of pygmies and farmers dispersed over the African continent, using sequence data from non-coding regions of their genomes. Using simulation-based procedures, they determined that the ancestors of pygmy hunter-gatherers and farming populations started to diverge around 60,000 years ago, coinciding with a period of important human migration both within and outside Africa. Much later, around 20,000 years ago, western and eastern pygmies separated, along also with a period of climate change, leading to large retreats of the equatorial rainforest. Scotland's oldest known settlement, dating back 14,000 years, was near Biggar in South Lanarkshire, archaeologists say. The site may have been a camp used by hunters following migrating herds of reindeer or wild horses across plains that are now covered by the North Sea. Its discovery by the Biggar Archaeology Group means that humans have lived in Scotland for 3,000 years longer than has previously been known. Until now, the earliest evidence of human habitation in the country was at Cramond near Edinburgh, which has been radiocarbon dated to around 8,400 BCE. A large scattering of flints was first found in the field near Biggar a few years ago, but the site was initially thought to be late Neolithic and was later classified as an Iron Age settlement after radiocarbon dating of charcoal found there. However, recent analysis of more of the flints revealed that they were from the end of the Upper Paleolithic 14,000 years ago. The true significance was realised by Torben Ballin, an expert in stone finds, and by Alan Saville from the National Museums of Scotland. Mr. Saville has said that this was probably a temporary campsite where the flints were found, so there's a faint possibility that there could be post holes and waste pits found there. The tool types involve particularly a couple of tanged points, and burins, end-of-blade scrapers, and a piercer, also known as Zinken type, as well as there being evidence for a certain type of blade core preparation technique known as an éperon. A burin was a flaked rock tool with a chisel-like edge, probably used to remove flesh from bone. Éperon means spur in French, and here it refers to a blade with a thick-ended butt at one end. The toolkit suggests that there was at least two major technologies in early Britain, Hamburgian and Cresswellian. The latter was characterised by a thing called the Cheddar Point, tools with trapezoidal-backed blades. The flints, which included end-of-blade scrapers and piercers, were found to date from around 12,000 BCE. They are similar to those found in southern Denmark and northern Germany, which have been dated accurately to around that time. It's now believed people from these regions made their way to Scotland via a large land bridge now called Doggerland, which connected the island of Great Britain to the mainland of Europe during the last Ice Age. The individuals in this case likely belonged to the Hamburg culture, known for its reindeer hunting prowess. The settlement may be ancient for Scotland, but it is positively modern compared to finds in England, where there is evidence of human settlement near Lowestoft on the east coast that date back a staggering 700,000 years. The bigger archaeology group now plans to carry out further excavations at the site to see what other artefacts they can find. Who knows, I might actually go along to that site, because it's quite close to where we are, and see if I can get an interview with them. 3,800 years ago, long before the US plains rippled with vast rows of corn, Native Americans planted farms with hardy pioneer crops, according to new evidence of the first farming in eastern North America. Because the area appears to have been well stocked with wild food sources, the discovery may rewrite some beliefs about what led people to start farming on the continent. Rather than turning to farming as a matter of survival, the so-called Riverton people may have been exercising free will and engaging in a bit of gastronomic innovation. The ancient farm was found at a Riverton site along the Wabash River in present-day Illinois. At least five varieties of seed-bearing plants, such as easily cultivated sunflowers and gourds, were grown at the site. This crop complex is the earliest known east of the Great Plains. Previous evidence from this time period had indicated that only single crops were domesticated. Around the world and throughout ancient history, people switched from mainly hunter and gathering to farming as a way to cope with environmental stresses, such as drought, or so the conventional wisdom says. But this new research really challenges the whole idea of humans domesticating plants and animals in response to an external stress, and it makes a strong case for almost the polar opposite. Before they began farming, the Riverton people lived amongst the bountiful river valleys and lakes, apparently eating a very healthy and diverse diet of nuts, white-tailed deer, fish and shellfish. The Riverton crops may have added to what was already a successful life for the ancient Americans, but that doesn't mean that farming didn't give the Riverton culture a practical advantage. In addition to their normal fare, the people may have relied on the crops as a stable source of food insurance against shortages of wild sources. Well, on that, I'm quite hungry myself now after that. I might have to go and have lunch, but on that note, we will just end up for today. And as I say, a big welcome to those of you coming from Preservation Today. And may I remind people that you can get some amazing information on the pasthorizons.com website. You can have a look at the magazine. Of course, there is all the volunteer archaeology opportunities that are going to be happening around the world this year. We have the videos and so much more. Why not even buy a trowel? Can I also remind people that there's many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities on Badger, that's www.bajr.org, and more can always be found on Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks so much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again to us next week.